Let's fall in love with God.
Chapter 12. Spiritual Growth Inhibitors. Settling for Secondhand Knowledge. Many Christians are so busy that they know God only by hearsay. We hear, but fail to experience it for ourselves. We too easily settle for substitutes rather than the real thing. Under these circumstances, the most we can expect to hear is the opinions of others about what God says. Wanting things instead of God. Some want things from God instead of a relationship with God. We are more interested in the gifts than the giver. God wants to give us Himself. Separated from God, His gifts can actually become distractions from a relationship with Him. When we take the gifts from Him instead of waiting for Him to give them to us, we become thieves. Living comfortably with sins. Anything that comes between us and intimacy with God is, simply put, sin. Sin might be best defined as crimes against relationship. Sin can also be defined as anything that is done which is relationally destructive. All sin can be traced back to three basic tendencies in us: seeking indulgence or pleasure, a trouble-free life; seeking applause, affirmation, and reputation; and seeking to be worshipped, emulated, and followed, all for personal gain and at the expense of others. Estranged by guilt and shame. Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden because they broke relationship with God by rejecting their relationship with God, by disobeying God's only rule or demand. The evidence of the broken relationship is that they hid from God once they knew that they were naked, caught in the act of disobedience, and overwhelmed with shame. All of us recoil from others when we feel guilt or shame for something we have done wrong to them. One example, adultery is the most common reason for divorce. Infidelity is one of the most emotionally charged words in any language or culture. Misunderstanding forgiveness. The only pathway to intimacy with God is forgiveness of our relationship crimes or our sins. Now, to be sure, God does not forgive in the manner which most think. God cannot just let the perpetrator go free and still provide justice to the victim. God's forgiveness is like the motorcyclist's saying, "Pay it forward." God pays forward the sins to Jesus so that the due penalty of our crimes is paid in full by Him. No sin goes unpunished by God. God declared emphatically, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." God will either let you pay your punishment forward to Jesus, or He will allow you to serve your own sentence, separated from relationship with God forever. That is the single message of the gospel. Holding others accountable. The matter of personal accountability is another hindrance to living abandoned to intimacy with God. It is never our responsibility or authority as Christians to condemn anyone for their actual sins or perceived sins, things which in our opinion are sin. I suggest that you think twice before you do so. Unfortunately, false teaching in the church, in which we are told to hold each other accountable for moral, ethical, and legal behaviors, creates relational carnage. Double jeopardy. God has appointed government and judicial systems to handle civil consequences. God handles all spiritual consequences. Yet many Christians actually add their additional penalties to what the civil justice system has devised. This is nothing short of double jeopardy, which is illegal by any system of justice in history. For all spiritual matters, personal matters between man and God, are adjudicated by God. He is the judge. Get out of His chair. Don't even approach the bench. The difference between fellowship and relationship. The importance of this one thing in the life of a believer is vastly underestimated. Sin, that is, breaking relationship, is responsible for most of our problems. I believe all will agree that our greatest pleasures in life come from good relationships, and our greatest pains come from broken ones. The essence of the life of Jesus is that He chose to love everyone, even His enemies. He even asked God to forgive those responsible for His crucifixion as they stood at the foot of His cross jeering as He agonizingly suffocated naked until He died. And to this day, Jesus offers a personal relationship with Himself to everyone. And Jesus only ever treated harshly those who came between people and their attempts to worship God or those who tried to negate the truth of God. And to be sure, Jesus' life and messages about God and mankind were, and still are, perfect. Silenced by guilt and shame. The reason sins committed by Christians hinder their intimacy with God is that the guilt and shame associated with them generally causes Christians to cower from God and withdraw from His presence. we have been sidelined by the lie of Satan. If you can't walk the walk, you can't talk the talk. Your personal purity has no bearing whatsoever on your testimony as a believer in Jesus. Jesus said that your testimony is your unconditional love for others, which matches His love for them. John 13:34-35. Feeling unworthy to speak. Neither you, your pastor, or your most righteous acquaintance are worthy to proclaim the good news of the gospel. However, even a donkey's lips were used to save Balaam from the sword of an angel. The message of the gospel is its own authentication and credibility. The foolishness of preaching the gospel is not the preaching. Every salesman is a preacher of his product's gospel. We are all preachers of the gospel of ourselves. The foolishness is that the purest message in the universe, when spoken by soiled lips, is not in any way sullied. So, just because you don't live a sinless life, don't stop bragging about your personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Only God can pay it forward. Many respected Christian teachers proclaim from their pulpits and lecterns the false teaching of moralism. The proper response to acknowledged sin is, "Thank you, Lord, that Jesus has paid for this sin already." Then go about your Father's work again immediately. One sacrifice and one repentance is all that God required for all of the sins of anyone who in faith lets God pay their sins forward to Christ. But to give thanks in everything is the ultimate in freedom from guilt and shame. When a Christian joyfully thanks God for the forgiveness already applied to their entire life and instantly restores their communion with the Holy Spirit, they can immediately hear His guidance and walk in it. This is truly what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. Hiding from God in shame. We will all likely continue to commit sin until our physical death. And even the Apostle Paul declares in Romans chapter 7, "The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do not want to do, I do. O miserable man that I am." And in Romans chapter 8, he states, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So until we stop cowering in guilt, shame, and fear, Satan has us immobilized. When you let your selfish spirit break relationship with anyone, remember this: since God has applied our punishment to Jesus, there is no need for this to come between us and our intimacy with God. Get back up, admit to the one you have wronged, open your heart to relationship with them again, and take one step closer to God. The more you practice this, the more you will fall in love with God and the less you will continue to sin. In this practice, you will also eventually find complete freedom from guilt, shame, and fear. Lost decades. For several decades of my own life, even while I was a practicing ordained minister, I was hindered from developing intimacy with God by this very issue. I had been taught that if I did not walk the walk of Jesus, then I should not open my mouth to talk the talk of Jesus. So my guilt and shame, reinforced by this erroneous teaching, of which I was also guilty of teaching, caused me to avoid God altogether for weeks or months, until I felt that I would not sin in this particular sin again and could step back into God's presence. Oh, that I could buy back that lost time. Admission, not condemnation. Yes, we need to admit that we have done wrong instead of hypocritically pretending that we have not or secretly hiding the fact that we have. Many Christians are hated because their loveless, self-righteous, superior attitude fails to deliver the love of God. Rather, Christians exude their disgust with those who have openly committed sin or admit that they have privately committed sin. Not believing that I am perfect. Know that our most significant other, God, this includes Jesus and the Holy Spirit, will never leave us or forsake us. He never holds our sin against us. The penalty has been paid by Jesus. Now, we can come boldly anytime, especially after committing sin, into His presence. Actually, the Holy Spirit within us prays to God for us during the moments in which we are committing sin. By the way, the Holy Spirit does not come out of us while we are in the very act of sin, and then come back in when we feel unashamed enough to invite Him back in. He is present in us during the act of sin. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit keeps us in the perfection of Jesus. Beware, however, that paying our sins forward to Jesus does not give us a get-out-of-hell-free card. Those who would use God's grace as a license to commit sin have not really become intimate with Jesus. They may have proclaimed that they have, but the evidence is irrefutable to the contrary. It is not action, but the motive which God uses to receive us into the kingdom of God. And his kingdom is the only one in history which is comprised of only those subjects who ask to be a citizen and volunteer to live under his authority. Making the Bible an idol. Why has God given us the Scriptures? It is because by reading the Scriptures we can know God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. But the Scriptures are not an end in themselves. We hear them talked about as though they were an end in themselves. No man can believe more in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures as originally given than I do. But verbal inspiration, or any other theory of inspiration that makes the Bible an end in itself, is a dangerous thing. The purpose of the Bible is not to replace God. The purpose of the Bible is to lead us to God, not to be an end in itself. Not realizing that the Bible is a love story. The central theme of the Bible is relationship, and in particular, healthy ones. The original Ten Commandments and Jesus' one and only commandment are exactly the same on this issue. The command of Jesus is simply the original Ten on steroids. It is an impossible command to obey without the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. That is why the Holy Spirit was given to us. You choose the voices that inform your soul. The only Christians you want to listen to are the ones who give you more of a hunger for God. You cannot know all that God has, but you can know all that God will reveal to your soul, which is infinitely more than you know now. The Church of Christ needs to return to teaching this. She needs to preach God Himself and that all of the gifts of God are ours the instant we receive Jesus. God will continue to reveal Himself. All the blessings of God will come along with God. We want the fullness of the Holy Spirit to fill us. We want godly living. We want a love divine like Jesus demonstrated in giving His life for His friends. We want all of that. Thieves rather than beneficiaries. But if we take His gifts apart from God Himself, we have only become thieves. If you find God, then you find all these things in God. You now say, I've accepted Christ, and that is very wonderful and good. Paul had been converted and was one of the world's great Christians. But he still wrote, that I may know Him intimately and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and be made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. Many want to know what the deeper life is, what living abandoned to intimacy with God is. Failing to abandon to God. In brief, it is akin to the theme of this book. God wants us to be romantic with Him and nurture a passionate intimacy with Him. He wants us to love Him more than our most significant other on earth. We call it abandoned to intimacy with God. Just as in a marriage down here, we commit ourselves to care more for our spouse than ourselves. We vow to put their needs as our highest priority. To be sure, if God truly becomes your dearest lover, your spouse may actually get jealous of God. This will not happen, though, if both spouses have their highest affections for God. When that happens, you have the most beautiful companionship with your earthly mate. Your desires are both for the same love of God. As we come further into an intimate relationship with God, our hearts become more abandoned to His pleasure, allowing distraction to diminish loving desire. Everything in life is either an attraction to God or a distraction from God. Anything that keeps me from knowing God intimately is my enemy. Look for any distractions from thinking about God. Intimacy with God causes you to think about Him as often as you think about your most significant other. Any possession that comes between you and Him is an enemy. I do not believe in keys per se, but if there ever were a key to unlock the mystery of living abandoned to intimacy with God, it would be simply this. Allow God to be Himself and learn to love Him. Not stepping out of the box. This may seem like a simple thing, but if it were, Christians would not need encouragement to press on to intimacy with God. Christians are infamous for trying to put God in a box. The God who fits in a box is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who fits in a box, or church building, is the God who can be controlled by man and who is at the beck and call of man. But this is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is an awesome and mighty force in this universe. When we persist in allowing God to be Himself, the most unconditionally loving being in the universe, that becomes within our inner being an explosion of reality regarding the person of Jesus Christ.
Our understanding of Him goes beyond academics and into that marvelous world of personal intimacy. Perhaps the ultimate truth here is that when we allow God to be Himself, we then and only then discover who and what we are as men and women. We are then well on our way to living abandoned to intimacy with God. Believing that God is unreliable. The major problem with allowing God to be Himself and to do what pleases Him is our misunderstanding of His motives and actions. Many have heard that God never changes. Then we see that God seems to be fickle. First, He tells the Israelites not to take any loot and kills those who do. Then He tells them to keep the loot. God seems to be extremely unpredictable. The reconciliation of these two impressions is this. God's character never changes, but His actions are often unpredictable. God is completely reliable. Perfect parenting. Often, God's actions must be different in what seems to be the same scenario. In the same manner, we must change what we do for each child in order to accommodate their very different personalities and tendencies. Imagine that God is parenting over 7 billion of His kids simultaneously. And then imagine still that He magnificently architects all circumstances of all people to create divine appointments, intersections, and so on, in order to help each one live their most effective and most loving life. There are only two dwelling places of God, in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, or in our innermost being, the heart. Beware of those who would insist that you take particular care with your body so as not to defile it. Scripture is clear that it is what comes out of a man that defiles him and not what he takes in.